Well, what I was going to do is show you the video, just so you have an idea, kind of a background on us, and then I'll kind of give you some further testimony of how the Lord has called us up here to northern Manitoba and to working with Pembina Valley Baptist Church in Winkler, Manitoba. So we'll show you the video first. My wife's bringing that up. It's on the... Does it shut itself off? Anyways, my wife and I are on full-time deputation, and we're working with Pembina Valley Baptist Church, Winkler, Manitoba, Pastor Mike Sullivan. And it was really as a result of the Preachers Conference in 2013, when I was attending that, the Lord called us up here into Canada. The Lord had been working on our heart before that, for many years prior to coming up here to Canada. I am originally from Washington State, just south of the border. I went to school in Seattle. My wife is from Michigan, western part of the state. And northern states, so we've had exposure to colder weather. I was stationed in New York for a while. And stationed in New York for a while, and we would get some rather cold winters there as well, and it would get minus 30, 35 Celsius around those times, so it wasn't quite the minus 40 and 45 and stuff like that that we'll see up in Thompson. So, you ready? Okay. We're going to play the video, and then I'll kind of give you of how the Lord has called us here.
Thompson, Manitoba, the hub of the North, lies 572 miles north of the North Dakota border and has a population of 13,000 citizens. 40% of the population is Aboriginal, and the other 60% are of non-Aboriginal descent. It is a city surrounded by natural beauty, ranging from its abundant wildlife to its picturesque waterfalls. Despite Thompson's beauty, many do not choose to live here because of an average of 240 days of sub-zero Celsius temperatures and up to 6 months of snow cover. The brave few who do move here come seeking a stable job in the mining industry, which accounts for more than 20% of the population's employment. Another deterrent to living in Thompson is its status as the violent crime capital of Canada. Thompson's mayor, Tim Johnston, says that if you took alcohol out of the equation, our stats would be entirely different. A recent study of all Thompson students, grades 7 through 12, revealed that 80% currently have someone in their family battling addiction. This story and the struggles of many in Thompson cannot be solved by any social program, regardless of how much money and resources the politicians pour into the community. The only thing that can change Thompson is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the Laos, taking the torch to the frozen north. God has called my wife and me to Thompson, Manitoba, Canada, to help establish a new mission work and eventually plant churches in the surrounding regions.
Hello, my name is Rebecca, and I grew up in a Christian family where I was taught by example to love the Lord. In 1994, at the age of 4, my father was diagnosed with cancer and passed away nearly 1 month later, leaving my mother to provide for her 3 daughters. A few months later, while talking with a cousin, I realized my need for salvation and accepted Christ as my personal Savior. In 1998, I was baptized by my uncle, Pastor Jim Swearinger. In 2007, while attending a Christian camp, I surrendered my life to the Lord for full-time Christian service. Upon graduation from high school, I attended Ambassador Baptist College in Lattimore, North Carolina. This is where I met my husband Christopher and realized God's calling for my life. I am excited about what God has in store for us.
Hello, I am Chris, and my testimony begins with the salvation of my parents. My father, while working for a tire company, was invited to church with a tract. He accepted this invitation and took my mother to church with him, where they heard the gospel and were shortly thereafter saved. They were so excited about the gospel that they invited my father's alcoholic parents to church. Content in their lifestyle, my grandparents refused this invitation. But because of my parents' persistence, both grandparents came to church and were eventually saved. So miraculous was their salvation that in time they were turned from angry drunks into faithful servants of the Lord for more than 30 years. The gospel changed my family's life. And in 1986, at the age of 4, my life was also changed after I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I was baptized in 1987. From a child, God placed upon my heart a great desire to serve Him. Unfortunately, during high school, I began to pursue riches over God's will. I went to college, received a degree in electrical engineering, and was commissioned as an officer in the United States Air Force. My first duty assignment was to Rome, New York, where God used the preaching at a local Baptist church to show me my foolish pursuits. Then, in 2007, while on a military assignment to Ohio, the Lord used a message from a layman at a local Baptist church to convict me of my need to surrender my life to full-time missions. Realizing my need for training, I separated from the military in 2008 and began attending Ambassador Baptist College. While in college, I met my wife and we were married in 2010. Then, in 2013, I completed my schooling with a master's degree. Upon graduation, I joined the staff of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Roswell, New Mexico, under the leadership of Pastor Jerry Beaver. He invested his life into me and gave me many of the tools that I will need to be successful in the ministry. In September of 2013, while attending a church planting conference in Canada, the Lord called me as a missionary to Thompson, Manitoba. At this conference, I met veteran church planter Dr. Dave Cook, who has been driving 9 hours one way every weekend to keep the mission work in Thompson alive. He is committed to aiding my wife and me in adapting to the Manitoba culture. In November of 2013, my wife and I took a survey trip to Thompson to confirm God's calling. In Thompson, we met some wonderful people. One such gentleman opened up to me and told me about his life of addiction and scars from sin. He was hurting and wanting answers. And though I presented the gospel, he could not quite see his need for salvation. He needs a full-time missionary to help disciple him and lead him to the Lord. We were also blessed to see a believer dedicate her life to the Lord. The hearts of these people are tender, and the potential for growth is great. Two high school girls are desiring to go to Bible college, but often, like myself, because of ungodly influences, whether at home or at school, these godly desires succumb to worldly lusts. They need a full-time missionary to establish a church to encourage them to follow God's will. There was also an older gentleman who was recently saved and desperately needs discipleship, but there is no one to teach him. We also met two families who both care for foster children who have been removed from parents because of abuse and alcohol. There is no missionary to pray with or support them in their desire to change the next generation. There are many other stories that my wife and me could tell of our time in Thompson. Thompson, Manitoba needs a solid Baptist church to be established. Time is running out and we need to get there. Will you help my wife and me to reclaim Thompson, Manitoba with the gospel so that generations of people can be spared from the awful effects of alcohol and ultimately a Christless eternity? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Remember the Laos, taking the torch to the frozen north.
Thank you. All right, so my family was really reached out to. While my dad was working at a tire store, it was actually a good year. And they came to church and began to flourish and began to serve God and get in ministry. But my parents eventually moved away from that area, and we started attending a different church. The church had much different standards. It was a convention-type church. And so a lot of things were different. The translations, the standards, and everything was different. And as my family began to become more involved in this church, over time, they both began to work, and then we started going to church less and less, and eventually, in my senior year in high school, things in the family were disintegrating quickly, and they eventually fell apart and divorced and all of that, and as I graduated high school, I was just kind of like, we were at a Baptist church, but it was a convention church, and I was just kind of frustrated with what I saw in Baptist churches. And so when I went into engineering school, I said, I want to go to a church where I can see that people love God, but they also love one another and they have good doctrine. And being at this church, I was so confused. And so I began to look for truth. I was saved and baptized and I knew it, but I was just looking to see, is it possible to have a church that can have a loving disposition, but yet a proper doctrinal position? And so I went to all these emergent churches and all of this. And my senior year in college, as I was graduating, a friend of mine's father-in-law suggested I attend an independent Baptist church where I was going to be stationed in the military. I said, well, I'll try it out. I was just so hungry. I was tired of what I was in, but I knew there had to be more. I knew that there had to be a church that is local New Testament church today. And so I was just wondering if, I was like, I'll try it out. So I moved out to New York State and began attending this church. And as I walked in, the first thing I did is I had about two guys that really began to just become mentors to me. And one guy that was a retired military, he took me out to eat, and that's always a good introduction to church. So I went out to eat and began to talk with this guy. And I was just kind of frustrated, a lot of bitterness that I had allowed in my life because of my parents. And the Lord began to do a work. We had a missions conference that year, and a missionary stayed at my house. He was an alumnus of Ambassador Baptist College, and he began to tell me that this college had sermons that you could listen to online. I said, well, I was so hungry, and I just wanted truth. I said, is it possible to have a local New Testament church today? And so I was listening to this preaching, and I said, this is different. These guys, they talk about loving their wives. They talk about scriptures, and that is the Word of God. And then at the same time, their sermons they have were not, I was continually broken over my sin, and the Lord was just working on me, and I said, okay, Lord. And it really came to a head when I was moving into the office of a guy who was a government civilian. After 42 years, I moved into his office, and the Lord, I threw away most of his stuff after 2 days of cleaning out his office, and the Lord just really showed me. He said, someday, young man, you're going to get to the end of your life. Another young kid's going to come behind you and throw your stuff away. And when you die and you stand before me, what have you got? And because I was doing everything for myself, it was not for God, I was not in God's will, I'd have to say, Lord, I have a whole bunch of garbage that I've done for myself. And that was really one of the beginning things, the Lord turning my heart back to Him and serving Him full time. I went on a research project down to Ohio for 6 months and began doing some research on unmanned planes. And as I was there, I began attending a church, and the pastor was sick with some heart problems, and one of the deacons of the church, I believe he was a deacon, was preaching a sermon on which chair are you in, and that was the evening that I surrendered my life to full-time missions. It was just like I was serving myself. I knew God wanted me in the ministry, but I didn't want any part of it. I didn't want to give up the money. I didn't want to give up the position I had in the military. I thought, well, I've earned it. How can a guy with an engineering degree turn and become a pastor? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. And I thought God had it wrong, but that night I surrendered. But I did make a mistake. I didn't tell anyone that I surrendered. I really am a firm believer that if you make a life decision for God and He calls you into the ministry, or He calls you to do something or whatever it is, let other people know so they can help hold you up and go forward. And I didn't make that. And so I didn't tell anyone, I said, well, God, you know what? I know I surrendered to you, but I really like the money. And so I went back to it. And when God calls you to do something, He will not let you go. And those were some very miserable 9 months. And eventually the Lord allowed me, so gracious, I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. I went to Ambassador Baptist College, and as I was there, pretty much about a month into it, we had a missions conference at the church I was at. I was at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and Dr. Earl Jessup was there, and he was preaching on churches reproducing churches. And like everything that I've been hearing about local New Testament Christianity today, my thought of church planting was some guy goes out, gets support, and he door knocks and door knocks and door knocks and door knocks, and he goes out by his own, and that's what church planting was. But when Dr. Jessup began to talk about churches reproducing themselves, it was like everything just kind of came together. It's possible to have local New Testament Christianity today. We can still love our wives. We can still have biblical, true biblical doctrine. We can still have good standards. We can still honor and worship God and have sermons that have the power of God upon lives. And that was just one of those things. And the Lord so impressed upon my heart to be involved in church planting. And that was back in 2008. I met my wife that year, and I began to become friends, and eventually got to know one another, and we got married in 2010. And that year, there was a missions conference, and I began to look at South Sudan and all of this, and my wife began to mention, what about Canada? Fast forward that to, I went to New Mexico on staff at a church for some training, and then eventually, that was an internship for 8 months, and I knew that my pastor wanted to bring me on, but the finances weren't there, and the Lord was just really pushing me on to more. My heart's desire was to really be a pastor, but to work with an older man. And so then I began to look at stateside pastoring because I had no desire to ever do deputation. That was just one of those things I did not want to do. And as I began to look, I called Clarence Moore with Brother Jessup, and Brother Jessup said, "Hey, tell him he needs to come to the preacher's conference." And so I went there. And at this conference on Tuesday morning, my wife and I prayed every day, and we're praying all along that God would just give us direction. We just wanted to know what God's will was for our lives. We were fully surrendered to doing whatever. And on Tuesday morning, the Lord had directed our prayers to pray for a specific location. I don't know why he did, but he did. I do know now. But later on, Brother Jessup said, "Hey, do you want to go out to lunch with me?" I said, "Absolutely." And as we went out to eat, he mentioned Thompson, Manitoba. And as he mentioned, began to talk about it, it was like the Lord just said, "That's it, young man, that's it." I said, "Okay, Lord." I said, "Well, let me call my wife." So I called her and I said, "Hey, hon, what do you think about coming to Canada?" And she reminded me of that same incident in 2010 when I was looking at South Sudan and she was mentioning Canada. And it was just like a confirmation in my heart. As we went on the survey trip in November, just to confirm that this is what the Lord's will was. I always believe that if God calls me, he's also going to call my wife and give her a piece for it. I don't think it's my ministry or her ministry, but I do believe that as God has called us to be one, I believe our hearts and minds will be in the same area and direction. And we went on that trip and came back, and it was the exact desires of my heart. I wanted to work with an older gentleman, and that was exact. We're going to be working with Brother Cook, who is a professor at Pembina Valley Baptist Church. We're going to be working with Pastor Sullivan and Pembina Valley Baptist Church as a reproducing church. That was a desire the Lord had put in my heart for years. The Lord had also changed my desires because in 2010 I said, "I don't ever want to go to Canada. It's too cold." But the Lord had changed my heart to working in 2013, that summer, to working in a colder environment, working with First Nations. And not exclusively, but I didn't have any ministry. And really, when I was at that preacher's conference, one of the men at the made a statement. He says, "You know what? It is the responsibility of us older churches and more mature churches to make sure these younger men in these more isolated, remote areas are kept tabs of or kind of kept accountable, because sometimes they said that we've seen two young guys go up in isolated areas and make a mess." And assuring to me, because I know, you know, if I have churches I know that are behind me, they can help hold each other's hands. And that's just a tremendous blessing. I know, I mean, I'm young, I've got some life experience. I am 32 years old, have some life experience, but not necessarily full-time ministry experience. I only had the 8 months I was there, and also time in Bible college. But, you know, as a pastor, there's different things. And so our goal is alongside and to make this work into a fully indigenous church, and then eventually, Lord willing, there is a nucleus that they have us come to be their pastor as the Lord would lead. And working with Sullivan and Brother Cook, and kind of where we're at, but was a town that was 1956. It's a nickel mining town, and go 3,000 feet deep. It is the cold weather test facility of North America, and the video, it's known as the violent crime capital of Canada, so it's no longer number one, but it has been statistically within the top five for some years, and so I just wanted to note that. There's about at least five reservations within a three-hour radius of Thompson. Anywhere from Split Lake, York Factory, there's the Dene, there's a couple different Cree tribes that are up there. And so it's really just our goal to just plant ourselves there because of Canada, and just plant ourselves there working with Pembina Valley and reproduce churches in the outlying regions as the Lord. But our goal is just to plant ourselves and just to see what the Lord does. Just be encouraged. And another thing that was interesting is my sister's, Thompson has had works in the past, and in the late 90s, my wife's older sister went to Thompson for a mission trip with a guy that was up there in the late 90s, and some things have happened since then, but some of the things we're looking at as obstacles obviously are the isolation, the cold weather, the drug and alcohol abuse. As you heard, the grade 7 through 12, 80% of those children have someone in their family with an alcohol or within an addiction, I should say, excuse me. And another thing also is because of the 40% of your First Nation, you obviously have a lot of resentment against white man and the Catholic resident schools that were so devastating. in those areas. And so our goal is to going out door to door, meeting at coffee shops, and just getting involved in the community to really reach out. One of the things I wish that my family, my parents, they lived together, got married, and then they got saved, and I really wish they would have had a, you know, I believe maybe if they had some more discipleship earlier on, may have been able to fix some things from the baggage of living together outside of marriage. And my big thing is really doing discipleship. I love sitting down with, and sharing people the Word of God and just allowing the Word of God to change. I've been able to do that a few times while in Bible college and even while I was in New Mexico. And so anyways, is there any questions you guys may have at this time? The language up there is English. It's 98% English. There is a hydro facility there. You have your cold weather test facility for your automobiles. Also, some jet engines are up there. Your mining operation. One of the finances for the average income of the town is $68,000, and the average age is 30 years old of the town. So it's a rather young town in its populace. And some of the churches and stuff that are up there. There is a convention church. There's a Hindu temple, Catholic, and your Pentecostals are up there. So just kind of a menagerie of religion. Yes, sir, Pastor.
What's the situation with the history of Baptist churches? Was not one there some 5 years?
Yes. There was a gentleman probably 30-plus years ago. Earl Jessup was back there in the 70s, the gentleman Dale Kuypers, and he was there for 30 years or something like that. He's not related to you at all, is he? Okay. He's from Michigan, I think Holland, Michigan. But anyways, he was there, and he had cancer, and he passed away. Another gentleman, Kim Myring, came, and that was in the late 90s when my wife's sister went there. And then a couple other men have come, and there's no other men there now. As far as I know, I know Brother Cook, there was a guy there, but he's gone. And just, there was a lot of struggles and things that happened. And Brother Sullivan and Brother Cook are privy to kind of the history of that. But, you know, their goal is just to get a solid work. And so. Any other question? Correct, yeah, about 38%, and yeah, so about a 60-40 kind of, native. So it's, and that's, we've talked, being at Pemina Valley, we were at their missions conference, and one of the ladies that was there said, I grew up there in Thompson, and she wasn't churched at the time, and she says, I remember as a little elementary school child that she would go to church, she would go to school, and on the way there she would see her classmates of elementary age. They were drunk, they were high, and they were looking at bad magazines. So really just I asked her for some more details, and she had to leave, so I wasn't able to get that. So just are they what? Like housing and stuff? A two-bedroom apartment, we're looking at $1,200 to $1,300 a month. I don't know if that's comparable to here. Or house, the houses, it says online, are about $190,000, $200,000 averaged. But your taxes, you're looking at 3.9% for your property taxes. So, because it said like 1.9% for education and 1.9 or something like that. So for your provincial or something, maybe I'm totally missing that, but I think it's right around there. The milk, we're looking at like a gallon of milk is about $5.70 a gallon, right around there. And the boneless, skinless chicken breast, which is always more expensive, was over around $6 a pound. I don't know how that would compare to here. Would that be about equivalent? Unless you raise your own chickens, then it's cheaper. There's core group of four families. Yeah, a couple of them are in the mining industry, and so that pulls them away about every other weekend. Yes, the Rollises. Is that ring a bell? Kevin and Susie Rollis. He's built, and his wife is a little shorter. Okay. Yes. Yes, they're one of the groups up there, and so they had a daughter. There was one of the young girls up here. She's actually at Pembina Valley now at the Baptist College. So Brother Cook has had some influence there. No, we do not. I've been looking at that, the paperwork of what I need to do to get that. Unless you have some information, I've looked at it as coming from without, because I haven't lived here yet. And so talking with Brother Sullivan, he has mentioned just come up here, stay, and then work on getting your PR and our citizenship. Do you know of a way to do it without? Because I know of other people said, well, I did it 16 years ago, but as I'm looking online, I haven't figured it out yet. So if you have some insight on that, I would be... Okay. Yeah, I've been looking online for that. They said, oh, you can do it from without. But as I look online, I haven't found anything. So I have been looking at it, though, and actively. Because I really do believe if God's called me somewhere, why not plant myself and just become a citizen there? So I don't understand people not... For coming up here? Just a visitor. Yeah. Yes, Pembina Valley will sponsor us in. Under the religious visa.
Have you been in contact with Gary Romero at all?
Gammy Romano?
Yeah.
I have not. I mean, I spoke to him, but I talked to Brother Sullivan about talking with him, and he says, we'll help you out with it. So, yeah. I figured, because I'm going with Brother Sullivan, and they've done it a few times, I'll just follow his leadership on that. So. But Brother Sullivan has been a tremendous blessing and encouragement along the way, and... I'm really, really excited the fact that we get to work with a church that's done it and then a few times. Exciting. So, and my pastor's wife is in Manitoba. She her mother was violated, and so my pastor's wife was all that, and so gave her up for adoption. She was adopted by a lady in London, Ontario. That was really where she grew up, was in London, Ontario, and so. She's excited. She tells us, when you get up there, send us some Tim Hortons coffee. So she likes her Tim Hortons coffee. She said, I remember going every day to Tim Hortons and getting my little cup of coffee. So our pastor's wife is fully on board with it. So, and my pastor is too. But anyways. Winnipeg's 8.5 hours from Thompson. Yeah. To Winnipeg, I couldn't tell you. From Winkler to Thompson, they're paved roads. There's some very desolate areas where you're just trees and lakes and rivers, and that's about it. There's no housing. There's nothing. I mean, you're in barren wilderness, so, and lots of trees. So you'd see some... ptarmigan or grouse or something like that along the way, crossing the road and stuff at times. But you would go, at least you could go 200 kilometers and not see anything. So you want to make sure that you fill up when you come to the next town. So there's some, once you get past really, I think, DePauw or somewhere right around there, you go north of that, it's not, there's not a lot in between. Any other questions? About 5 minutes. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Feel free to ask us any questions later on. We do have a prayer card in the back.